Zig, can you share with us a few stories on our responsibility towards our children and what we really need to do to help them along?
Well, of course, there are many things we can do, but first of all, you love them unconditionally. Not because they're beautiful or bright or handsome and bright and obey everything you tell them. You love them because they're yours, period. If a child ever feels that they've got to qualify for the love, they will always be nervous about it. They'll be insecure. That's number one. Number two, if you clearly understand the importance of getting them out of bed properly and putting them in bed properly, it'll make a huge difference. I learned this from my oldest daughter when her second child was born. Baby was about, 6 weeks old. They were over at the house, and obviously as grandparents, we've got the crib there. And, you know, as I tell folks, if we had known grandchildren were going to be so much fun, we'd have certainly been nicer to their parents. But anyhow, they were over there, and we were seated in the den, and all of a sudden we heard this little, eh. Well, at that sound, 600 pounds of adults got up and made the mad dash back to the bedroom where the crib was. And as I watched my daughter, as she lowered the side of the crib, lovingly reached down and picked up her baby, talking to her and cooing to her as she held her against her breast, laid her gently down on the bed, talking to her all the time, took the dirty diapers off and put on babies what you put on babies when they foul things up, mm-hmm. picked her back up, held her close. The thought occurred to me that why can't we wake up our children, regardless of age, every morning that way? Why is it that we do that when they're babies, but then as they get on up 5 or 6 years old, we have a tendency to bang on the door and say, okay, kids, it's time to get up. We almost were late for school yesterday. I'm not going to wait on you today. Why not gently tap on the door? Why not walk in, stroke, sit down on the side of the bed, stroke your child's hair, lean over and kiss them. Tell them how beautiful they are, how much you love them. Tell them today's going to be a wonderful day. They're going to learn some really neat things, and you can't wait for them to get home from school so they can share with you what a great day it's been. Then at night, if bedtime is at 9 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, you say, now, sweetheart, you know, at 9 o'clock we go to bed. If you need to call Charlie about the lesson for tomorrow, you have to put the bring the bicycle in, put the cat out. You need to get all three drinks of water and take both trips to the bathroom, because at exactly 9 o'clock, we'll go to bed. At 9 o'clock, you turn the TV off if it's been on. Nothing is more demeaning to a child than to have the parent put them to bed quickly during the commercial. It really delivers a strong message. Then you take your child back to the bedroom. Now, please understand, we successfully raised four children. We clearly understand that the greatest con artists walking the earth are between ages 6 and 11. And we know that child is planning, oh boy, Pop's going to put me to bed, or Mom's going to put me to bed. I've got some things I can talk about. They're planning on how they can keep you there the longest possible time. They'll ask you silly questions. Let them, because you will bond more with that child in those few minutes than you've been able to do all day long. Because after the first two or three silly questions, then they will tell you what's on their heart. And you can learn more about your child and establish that relationship, which is so critically important. You start their day with love and direction. You end their day with love and a prayer and a Bible story or something of this nature, but mostly just the personal attention, the few minutes you spend. If you start the day right and end the day right, the time in between will be so much better for the child. That sense of security will be theirs. And that's the way that you build a long-term relationship and create a child or raise a child who will be happier and healthier. And then you always need to remember that the child is a child. In no way is a 7-year-old equal to you. They've not had the experience. They do not know the things you need to know. They look for mature judgment and guidance from the child. I never will forget when my oldest daughter was a teenager. one Friday afternoon, she came running in the house, and she ran up to me and said, "Daddy, can I go to so-and-so-and-so's place with such and such a group?" And I'd seen the group. So I said, "Absolutely not." She said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Doll, it's the wrong place with the wrong people. But everybody else is doing it." "Now, doll, you know that's not going to have any bearing on what your mom and I do." "Well, why can't it go?" I said, "Doll, let me tell you something. Those kids out there are your buddies today. They might not be speaking to you tomorrow. But I want to tell you something, doll. There's nothing on the face of this earth that you can ever do, regardless of what it is, that would keep me from loving you totally and completely. You're mine. You're ours. You're stuck with us as parents from here on in. And I love you too much to permit you to go to a place which, to say the least, your reputation could be endangered, perhaps even your life." Doll, the answer is no. She stood there and her little lips literally started quivering. Then she almost literally leaped towards me, threw her arms around me, gave me a big old hug and a big old kiss, and said, "Thank you, Daddy. I didn't want to go anyhow." These kids often desperately hope the parents will say no, to give them the security of knowing that the parent is always going to act in their best interest. And years later, she was still talking about the incident and what it meant to her. That's so important in raising those kids. In a world today, that's even more important, because there's so much gratuitous sex, there's so much violence, there's so much foul, filthy, vulgar language. And when they've got the security of loving parents that always act in their long-range best interest, regardless of how the child might feel at this moment. Also, Dr. Josh McDowell did a study and found that parents who permitted their daughters, they can keep track of them a little better than they can the boys, permitted their daughters to start dating at age 12, the odds are 9 to 1 that they will be sexually active before they get out of high school. Parents who permit them to wait until they're more mature at age 16, odds are 4 to 1, they will not be sexually active. And we know what difference that makes in what happens in that child's future life. Love them enough to always make the decision that is in their long-range best interest. With our children, the door was always open. We always closed every conversation with a comma, not a period. Everything was open for discussion unless it was illegal, immoral, or dangerous. Then the decision had already been made on those.